Welcome one and all to the latest episode of Signals from Mars. Joining me today is Laura from the band King Witch. How are you, Laura?
I'm good. Nice to meet you, Victor. I'm Laura from Scottish doom metal band King Witch, and I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Happy to have you on the show. And it's typically been 3 years between each release for the band up until the new album Three. Is there a specific reason why it took 5 years to release this album?
After we had sort of done our sort of touring for Body of Light, and our last gig I think was Desert Fest London, and like there was a lot of personal shit going on with the band, and we decided that that might have been quite a good time just to maybe take a little bit of a break. And during that break, Jamie and I ended up having a little boy. So that's quite a large reason for the space of time in between. But so that's why it took a bit longer.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah, I was just trying to sort out if it was on the family end of things or if it was that the band just felt that they needed more time to work on the material or not.
No, it was mostly just family. And Jamie actually had a lot of the music written. He managed to get quite a bit of that done during COVID lockdown. But we just kind of put it to the side because obviously we released our last album during COVID. So as soon as like restrictions and everything were lifted, we just went out and started touring Body of Light and forgot about all the new stuff that we'd written. So the space in between was when we were getting busy as well, sorting out our new music.
Okay. The first thing that stands out to me from Three is just how cohesive, aggressive, and how sonically better it sounds than the previous releases.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's something that the band was trying to do when recording the album.
To be honest, I don't think there was really any kind of conscious effort to make it sound a particular way. It's like just kind of writing it the exact same way as we've written every other album, which is basically, you know, like music that we're enjoying playing at the time and, you know, music that we like. But I think Jamie wanted to make the album feel more natural, more like okay, maybe a bit raw, but I don't think there was like a conscious decision to actually sort of strip it back.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of times also Jamie produced and mixed the album. A lot of times bands try to do that and it seems as if it's almost their worst album because they're their own worst enemies and don't know how to be objective with their own music.
Yes, dangerous.
Yeah. How do you think Jamie works with you guys to try to get the best out of you without maybe allowing you to get by with something that just isn't up to what he was looking for?
But Jamie doesn't hold back if he thinks something sounds shit. Which is good. I mean, you don't want to for it to be half-arsed. You want it to sound good. So, yeah. We're really lucky in that we've got a studio out the back of our home. So it's somewhere, you know, like Jamie knows he's really comfortable in it. And also because we had all that time, we were really, it was a comfortable way of recording. It didn't feel like we were under pressure. And you know, like it gave us time for Jamie to be able to say, why don't we try something different? Or, you know, like maybe we could try a different melody for vocals, or why don't we try some like a different bass part? Or there was a day where Rory was in recording his bass and he thought, do you know what, it probably would sound really cool with you. Or Rory was like, it would sound really cool with my fretless bass. So they went and did a journey all the way up to like, you know, like way up Scotland to north just to get this fretless bass and come back down. But, you know, it made a big difference. That was for Little Witch. Just those little tiny little sounds, like, you know, just I think makes all the difference. And it's worth them putting the effort in to do those kind of things.
Is it difficult being in a relationship not only with the guitarist but also with the producer? Does that in any way strain your relationship?
No. I mean, Jamie and I have been in bands for 20 years. So okay. we've been in King Witch for 10 years and we were in another band for 10 years before that. So like it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of a separate thing. It doesn't feel like it's It's never been a problem. I mean, we might shout at each other a bit more when it comes to doing the recording, but but I mean, everybody does that, so.
Right. Okay. It feels like your vocals, you're saying that it wasn't premeditated, but it really feels like your vocals are a lot stronger than they have been in the past. Not to say that they haven't been strong on each of the previous two studio albums plus the EP, but it just seems like your vocals are at a different level with this album as well. Kind of at the same standard as the music part of things with the album. I think that the music has gone to another level, and I think that your vocals have also gone to another level.
Thank you. I think when it came to recording, well, I personally felt there was a slight worry when I was recording that because I hadn't done it for a while, like, because I'd had a kid that was like, maybe I'm not going to be able to do this anymore. Maybe, like, I don't know, maybe my body's like physically changed. I'm not going to be able to sing, but that wasn't the case. And I wanted my vocals to sound natural, but also, like, I wanted to try and get what the lyrics are about, like, try and get the emotion across. And I don't know how it works, but maybe it's because we had that little bit extra time and I felt comfortable when it came to recording. But I'm never happy with my vocals when it comes listening them back. But for this album, like, I was really happy when I heard the demos, like, really happy, and that never happens. I don't know what magic was happening at the time, but it worked.
Cool. And you mentioned how you guys took your time with the album. How important was it that the label wasn't pressuring you guys to deliver something?
Well, I mean, if the label was pressurizing us, they wouldn't have got anything out of us, because, I mean, our hands were kind of tied just because we had a little boy.
Right.
We were really lucky with Listenable because they're a fantastic label. They've been really supportive. They've never, you know, like, put pressure on us or, they're just like a really, really great label. Laurent as well, who runs the label, he's like, you know, he's just got a real love for music, which is just it's just a nice thing from, you know, like a big label.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And actually, I skipped a question here. So let me just go back to the recording of the album one second here. You mentioned that, for example, you guys went and used the fretless bass on the track. Is there anything that you also consciously tried with all the time that you had that you maybe hadn't done in the past that you said, well, you know, let me try this on a vocal, or let's include, I don't know, some type of a layered guitar part that maybe we haven't done in the past?
I mean, there's like about a million different layers on guitars, I think, but we did use our son's baby xylophone at the very beginning of the album. So do you know that sort of eerie sound that you hear as Suffering Life's coming in? That's like a sort of warped version of a ting. Rock and roll.
There you go.
I know.
It's there's cool. So many stories like that with Judas Priest on British Steel, where they just took a tray full of silverware, dropped it and recorded it, and that's a sound that's at the end of the track Metal Gods.
Really?
Oh, wow. Yeah. If you listen back to it, it's the last, like, the outro to the song. There's like this clanking sound, and that's them dropping a tray with silverware.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There's another bit as well in the CLIs, when you hear a sort of sound underneath the guitars, that's actually Jamie. He's got a cold and he's going he's making a really like sort of weird noise in the background, but it's got rakes and rakes of reverb on it.
Right. Wow.
It sounds weird. It sounds like some sort of synthy sound that Devin Townsend would use, but it's just Jamie with a really blocked nose.
That's cool. Those are the little details that you would never know unless, you know, that comes up in an interview. Cool. How do your surroundings, being from Scotland, being from Edinburgh, How does that kind of help shape the band's music?
I mean, we started out in Edinburgh jamming under it was an old spooky church. So we were in all these like dark vaults underneath this old church. So mm-hmm. I guess that's like pretty fitting place to write riffs if you're like in a sort of heavy metal doomy band. But I mean, Scotland's got amazing scenery, and it's quite a good place to come up with lyrics, you know, like from like folklore and history and just like scenery in general. It's just like, it's just gorgeous. So I guess there's definitely a lot of songs in our albums that are about, you know, like Scotland and mythology of Scotland.
Right. So that helps kind of, spark creativity.
Yeah, I think so. We all do like really like getting out into, you know, like going for like getting out into nature, like walking in the hills. And it's like a really good way of being able to sort of clear your head, I think. And there's a lot of actually like our new album is about that. I think it's just important to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because there are a lot of doom metal bands that are out of, England, Scotland, the UK. And a lot of times you can kind of feel the different textures where they're from to kind of separate each one of the bands. Like, you don't sound like Orange Goblin, and you don't sound like, I was going to say The Quill, but they're from Sweden. So, I mean, they're all, you guys are all kind of in the doom realm, but you're all kind of putting your own flavor on things.
Yeah, it's cool. I think that, yeah, there's a huge pool, but there's like so much variety in it as well, which is really cool. Our previous band was more of a straight up, sort of like heavy metal, new wave, like British heavy metal style band. And that felt like it was a bit more restricted. But like this, the stuff that we're playing now, it just feels like there's much more sort of space to be able to be creative in different ways. So you could like for instance, this album's got like heavy metal, doom vibes, it's got hard rock, it's got a bit of folk, it's got like slight psychedelia, like it's... even grunge, like it's got a bit of everything, but it still feels like it's still in that realm.
Yeah. It's neat. There's like a thin line between everything, and you guys are kind of just shaping it to work for you.
Yeah, like, and I think it's we quite dig the fact that there's variety as well. You used to get like the albums that you maybe used to listen to as kids, like, you know, well, I still listen to them, you know, like Zeppelin or, you know, like Floyd, Thin Lizzy, like none of the songs are the same. None of the songs are like, every song's got a bit of a different flavor to it, which, although they still sound like the same band. And we personally feel like that's the kind of album that we would want to listen to because it keeps it interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think, something that's kind of lost in modern music where it's become very homogenized and very samey, where, and this is all across hard rock and metal, where bands write one song and everything kind of sounds like that one song throughout the entire album, as opposed to giving people different sides of the band. And this is a discussion that I've had quite a bit in the past, mm-hmm. where people have said to me, well, you know, an album that's that diverse isn't going to go over well with fans. And I thought, well, why not? It's always worked, mm-hmm. you know? And the thing was, well, if you're selling it to somebody, you're marketing something to them, you should stick to one thing so that they know what they're getting. And that doesn't make sense to me.
Nah, it doesn't make sense to me either, but like, it's kind of a weird world now in the way that, you know, like people's attention spans are so short and maybe people are not like, they're scared to take it. They don't want to take a risk on like spending time on an album. Like that's, I don't know. Like one song's one way, the other song's the other way. And they're like, no, I'm not into that at all. I don't know. I think I dig variety. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you as well. And I think it makes it interesting as a listener to want to continue to kind of ride that wave throughout the entire album.
Totally.
As opposed to just hearing one thing and saying, all right, I've kind of heard the entire album already.
Yeah, and it takes you on a journey. Like, that's how it should feel. Like, it feels like you're like on a roller coaster up and down. Like, where you'd like, that's what I like about it.
Yeah, I agree with you. You're credited as working on the graphic design for the album.
Yeah.
What was your input on that, and what aspects did you work on?
So originally I was going to do the cover artwork for the band, for the album. And I'd come up with an idea. There was an old painting that I'd done, and like, we thought it was really cool. And we gave it to the label, and he was like, that's cool, but I think we could probably get something bit more fitting to the music. And it was like, but luckily we knew a very talented woman called Roseanne Hayes, AKA Blasted Heathen. And we'd worked with her before on t-shirts, and I asked her if she would be interested in helping, and I gave her like my sort of concept of what I wanted, which was like yin and yang, light and dark, death, life, corruption, innocence. And I thought, you know, like, it would be cool if it was wolves, because I felt like that would be a good way of representing the fierceness of the human spirit in amongst all the shit. Mm-hmm. And she said, cool. And she went away. And she came back with about five designs that were all like off the chart amazing. And it was really difficult to choose which one, because they were all so good. But we decided to go more for the original concept, which was the yin and yang concept of the wolves. And that's how it came about. So she did the front cover and the back cover of the album artwork, which is like our faces in stone. Mm-hmm. And I'm a graphic designer anyway, like by day. I had the time to be able to take her artwork and sort of just like do with it what I needed to do. And I had all the photographs and stuff as well from like one of her friends had done photo shoots with us as well. So I was you know, like in a comfortable place to be able to put it all together.
Okay. And that's presented to you in what, Illustrator or something like that?
I did some of it would have been in Photoshop, and some of it would have been in InDesign.
Okay. So yeah, if that's what you normally do, I mean, that's easy for you to mess around with and to kind of bend it in whatever way you want to.
Yeah, totally. But it was nice to have somebody else doing the artwork. I think because we do a lot of stuff ourselves, like, mm-hmm. you know, like Jamie's done the production and everything, kind of quite a DIY band. It can be difficult sometimes to pass things over, but it felt nice to be able to do it, and even nicer because she'd done such a good job.
Does this kind of give you more ideas for, say, for merch or for other aspects, or would you work with any of the other designs that she presented?
Yeah, I think I'm going to ask. I was actually going to ask her if she'd be up for letting us use one of the other designs for another t-shirt, because we've got the album cover on a t-shirt already, but I think it would be cool to use something so it felt like it all tied in. Mm-hmm. That would be cool.
Cool. You mentioned off air that you guys are going to be playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is that the first set of shows that you're doing in support of this album?
Yeah. So it's just tomorrow and Saturday. So we'll play in Newcastle tomorrow and London on Saturday. Okay. And these are the first gigs that we'll have played in over 3 years. So these are in support of the album, and then we've got a few more shows coming up in the months coming ahead, but yeah, tomorrow's our first gig in a long time.
Nervous?
A little. Excited though at the same time, though. Excited.
How does you already touched upon being a mother a few times, how does being a mother and tying your family into doing these shows, how does that all work out now?
Well, it makes things a bit tricky because it means you can't really do sort of longer tours. So it needs to be sort of more select gigs and sort of smaller, shorter tours. But yeah, I think it'll be manageable, just in a bit of a different way. I think I just felt like, how's it going to feel to be on stage as a mum? Am I going to feel like, I don't know, will it feel weird? Can I still rock out?
Well, you'll find out shortly.
I sure will.
A few weeks back, there was a big event that kind of triggered a lot of the music that you guys play. The Back to the Beginning shows that kind of put bookend to Black Sabbath and Ozzy. And there was a tremendous tribute to them. And I don't find it shocking that they were able to raise so much money because of how diehard metal fans are, and how if there's a cause or if there's someone that they love, how they back them and their projects.
Yeah.
As a musician, how do you look at a show like that?
I thought it was really cool. They were able to raise the amount of money and it was really cool to see him, you know, like it was nice to see them again. It's kind of, it was sad. Like I went to their last ever gig in Birmingham. And that was, when was that? I can't even remember how many years ago that was.
That was in 2015, 16, maybe.
Yeah. So that was like the send off. But to see this, it felt sadder somehow. And I don't know, because I think it felt more final for whatever reason. I don't know. I think maybe because Ozzy's in a chair, it made it seem like it was just, that's what made it more final. But I did think it would have been nicer. It would be nice if they had even a couple of local bands from Birmingham, or, you know, like a smaller band. Or I know that the reason why they've got all these big bands is because that's what's going to bring in the money for the charity. And
right.
But it just felt like they were in their hometown, and it would have been really cool if they had, you know, given someone, a small band from the area, the chance to sort of get up there in front of everybody.
Right. Yeah, I guess the smallest band that they probably had up there, quote unquote, was probably Rival Sons.
Oh, maybe. They're not even that small anymore.
Right, but that's the whole thing. What bands would you have liked to have seen?
What, from like smaller bands?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not from Birmingham, but I think, you know, like Green Lung are doing really well here at the moment. I think they would have probably gone down well. Obviously, we would have. We're not from Birmingham, but. But yeah, like, I don't know. They just would have been really. There's like loads of cool sort of doomy, hard rocking bands that would have totally killed it, like, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you.
Yeah.
What other bands do you think? Because I mean, we're at a point in time where we're going to see more of our heroes say goodbye, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But that's part of life. What other bands do you think could pull off something similar to that as kind of a send off?
That kind of style of gig that they played.
Yeah. That style of gig.
I don't know. Like, do you mean bands of their era or a different era? Like,
of any era.
Of any era.
Still around, yeah.
I don't know. Well, Zeppelin are going to be playing at the end of the year. They know. Maybe they could do it, but maybe not. I don't know. Like, but it's, I don't know. Like, it's hard to say because older. Those kind of style of bands, they're just, obviously because they've been around for so long, they've built up such huge followings and momentum and
right,
godlike stature.
Yeah.
And it was different for them. So bands these days, it's not easy for a band to make it. So, you know, like they don't get given money from record labels. Which means you don't get the same amount of time to pour into the music I don't know. It's a whole different beast now. And I honestly don't know who would be able to pull off something like that in the same way.
I would speculate that it would have to be a big band that could pull in other big bands along with them. It would have to be like an Iron Maiden, or it would have to be like an AC/DC, or
Metallica could probably do it as well. Like,
yeah. Metallica without a doubt. Metallica could probably do it on their own.
Yeah, totally.
But I mean, what I found so cool about the event was it reminded me of a lot of shows that I saw on TV as a kid, whether it was, whether it was Live Aid, or whether it was the Freddie Mercury tribute show, or stuff like that, where there were different events over the years where you would have a lot of these big bands get together and play these events, and it was neat. And I think that's something that's been lost maybe in like the last 20 to 30 years, where I'm not saying they don't exist, but it's not as frequent, or maybe just in my mind, it's not as frequent.
No, I think you're right. It would have been really cool to have a ticket to go. It would have been cool to be there to sort of, to witness it. Because yeah, it's like quite a cool, like from watching it, we watched the live stream, quite a cool feeling seeing all these big bands come together and like play, you know, like doing a couple of their own tracks, but also like doing these covers, listening to their interpretation of an Aussie song or a, you know, like a Black Sabbath song was quite interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm hoping they release it at some point in the future, because I missed the live feed altogether.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Yeah. Hopefully. Where can somebody go to pick up three and make sure that it puts the most amount of money in the band's pockets?
Well, if you want to buy it digitally, you can go to Listenable Records Bandcamp. That's our record label. You can also buy vinyl and CD from them as well. On their Bandcamp, or you can their website as well. But you can also buy CDs and vinyls from us, the King Witch Bandcamp. You just can't buy it digitally from our Bandcamp.
Okay. Cool. And as far as keeping up with the band, what's the best place for them to go?
Like our socials, like we're pretty active on Instagram, on Facebook. Those two are probably the best ones. They're both kept up to date pretty regularly, and they'll have like gig dates or like new videos or, you know, all that shizzle.
All right, cool. Well, I appreciate your time, Laura. It was awesome talking to you, and I really enjoy the album, if you couldn't tell.
I'm glad you like it. That makes me very happy to hear that.
Absolutely. It totally, it totally hits the spot. If, in my opinion, if you're looking for a certain style of aggressive doom metal, specifically is what stood out to me. If people are craving and missing one Ronnie James Dio, for example, I think that this will help wet your whistle, definitely.
So. Nice. Yeah, thank you very much, and thanks for taking the time to chat to us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time. Anytime you want to come back on, you're more than welcome to do so.
Thank you, Victor.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you for watching the Signals from Mars live stream. You can watch the show live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch. Or check out replays on YouTube. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.